There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this little Thursday edition of the show. Glad you're here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And a phone number and text line, the hotline, the phone and text hotline, 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll put you through right here on FM Talk 106.5. And then the number works on this show and Jeff's show and the morning show and evening shows and weekend shows and all that good stuff. So you can check it out right there. All right, coming up on today's show, a couple different things. First of all, and I brought in some backup or maybe even just a sounding board when it comes to the discussion of what I mentioned yesterday beyond the fried chicken fixin' story. Started talking about the food truck ordinance that was passed last week by the Mobile City Council. We're going to get into some details on that and talk some Amtrak as well, which we'll do in a second, right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk about that in the second hour with Dale Leash from Lanyap. He's going to join me to do that. Also coming up this hour, Robert Kennedy Jr. We'll talk with him around 12:30, talk about this situation with our what's the actual, the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, the climate envoy, climate czar John Kerry, and meetings he was having with the Iranians. This, I mean, by his own admission, we're going to get into that and ask if this is it more important? I think this is a fair question. Is it more important to support your party or support your nation? And in the old days, you'd be like, oh, that's a silly question. Everybody's going to say support the nation. I don't know. I, in today's world, to some degree on both sides of the aisle, I see people have like party allegiance before national allegiance, right? And we can get into that and what the allegations were made. I'd say allegations, a lot of it by the admission of U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry. So we'll get into that. And coming up in just a couple minutes, too, my buddy Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. Remember, these are the veterans that... that row across the Atlantic, right, to bring attention to head injuries, post-traumatic stress or disorder, and what our veterans are going through. At the same time, they themselves are being guinea pigs for those studies as they purposefully get in a rowboat and row that boat across the Atlantic in that Talisker Whiskey Challenge. We'll get an update on the team for next year and some of the other races they're getting into. So it's not just enough. No, it's not enough to row across the Atlantic. They're getting involved in some other competitions out there on the water, but these are teams staffed of veterans, and it's really a great story, and it's a way we can all help out. We'll give you details on that coming up in just about 4 or 5 minutes when Bryant joins me, so we'll talk about that. And if you've got questions for Bryant, you can get them in. It's a neat story. We've been following them and what they've been doing for years, and it's good to see, even with 2020 and all the stuff that happened in 2020, that they're resetting for 2021, and they've got the team together, and we'll get the details coming up in just a little bit. All right, also the update here on vaccine, and I think we'll get a in the upcoming newscast with Devin from Devin Walsh from WKRG. Even with all the things we talked about yesterday with Dr. Chavers about the Walmarts being able to be distributors for vaccine, and now CVS, you know, offering COVID-19 shots and all that, you still have an update here from the state health officer that says not enough vaccine for all the people that want it in the state. Okay. The vaccine is the frustrating thing here in the research I've done and the conversations I've had. The vaccine is available They can make the vaccine and at Pfizer and Moderna, but we have other players coming in, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, but they can't distribute it fast enough. Like, they can make it, but they don't have enough rubber stoppers and vials. They don't have enough packaging for it. Can we not? I mean, we have not lost all our manufacturing to other places. The same spirit that was Operation Warp Speed to develop the vaccine, I really don't know why those intelligences, right? The wisdom of these companies can't be brought to bear to deliver. I mean, sure, it's tough to get things delivered anymore as quickly as they used to with all things going on, but come on. Can we not get, they're making the vaccine, they have the vaccine, but can't they get it to you on time? Because it's a real shame with everything going on right now, and we have a situation where Alabamians who want the vaccine in the short term don't have an option to go get it. All right, so we'll talk about that some more later on in the show. Brian Knight joins us in just a little bit to talk about Team Fight or Die. I tell you what, I ought to send those guys before they get started, and gals, before they start their next big rowing expedition, maybe some Omaha steaks. Get them up because they're going to need the protein, they're going to need the energy, and who doesn't love fantastic steak? All right, ever wondered what makes those Omaha steaks so darn good that I'm always talking about? It's their aging process. Omaha steaks are aged at least 21 days, and y'all, that's where the magic happens. You can try the mouthwatering steaks out in their Butcher's Bestseller package at omahasteaks.com. Here's how you do it. Go omahasteaks.com. When you get there, the search window, right? Like where you type in a search. Type in my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N. Do that into the search bar and save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing included in the Butcher's Bestsellers package. 4 savory pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets. And oh yeah, wait a second, the big one, 4 fork tender butcher cut filet mignon. And also, if you do this now, you'll get 50% off and you'll get 4 more of the chicken breast and 4 more of the delicious burgers for free. So go to omahasteaks.com, type Sean in the search bar for the special offer and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Save over 50% plus get 4 free chicken breast and 4 burgers. It's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sean, S-E-A-N. A little note here too, that they're going to have, I guess right now you can check it out, they have corned beef and cabbage delivery available. So if you're trying to get ready for St. Patrick's Day and a big meal at the house there, of course, maybe they only sent this copy to me because my last name's Sullivan, but you can enjoy it as well. So go to omahasteaks.com and you can search corned beef and cabbage as well. But check out that Butcher's Bestseller package. Get the discount when you use my name, Sean. All right, coming right back, more with Bryant Knight and Team Fight or Die. They're back at it. Not only is it enough to be rowing across the Atlantic in their competition, they got other places they're going to challenge themselves as well. Details straight ahead.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1218 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, we're streaming, of course, at fmtalk1065.com. You can check us out there. Also, while you're there, podcasts aplenty, show schedules, all that good stuff on our website. But remember, check out our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Got all those things popping. So come find us and like us and say hello and all that good stuff. All right, it's great to bring back on a friend of mine and a Mobilian and a man who is making a difference as a human being, as a veteran, and as somebody bringing attention to the challenges of our warriors as they come home from theater. And that is Bryant Knight with Team Fight or Die. Great to hear from you again.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
And belated happy birthday.
Yeah.
So
you seem to get one of those every year, a year.
Thank goodness. As we look at Team Fight or Die, and I do this every time, but I think it's fair. Like, you and I talk about this stuff all the time. It is your life. It is your passion. I'm pretty darn interested in what y'all do, but there may be somebody who has not heard of Team Fight or Die. They've been under a rock or something. So explain what y'all do.
So Fight or Die is an all-military veteran ocean rowing team that competes in a race called the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge every year. And we get in a 28-foot ocean rowing boat, custom made for rowing. It has two rowing positions, has a aft and a bow cabin, and we set off from La Gomera, Canary Islands, and we finish in Antigua, 3,000 miles across the Atlantic Ocean.
I mean, y'all, I know he puts it just like succinctly like that, but y'all row a dang boat across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we no motors, no sails. It's all, you know, with the oars.
And this, and it's interesting. I mean, just the logistics that go into this. Y'all got to take, you got to take the boat, and then you got to put it on a container ship and send it over across the Atlantic, and then y'all meet it over there and then row it back.
Yeah, that's essentially what we do. We try to get the boat on a container ship around the October time frame, so we have enough leeway for the ship to get to its destination of La Gomera. That's in the Canaries. So the Canaries is roughly about 300 miles off the coast of the northern part of Africa. It's a set chain of islands that's a colony of Spain. And that's where the race starts. The race, you know, it's been going on, I guess, since the mid-90s. And it's predominantly a European-based race, so there's not really been a lot of American involvement up until, you know, our team, Fight or Die, and a few other teams. This year, we're really excited because we have three U.S. teams competing in the race.
Really?
And,
some new teams have entered?
And the one is a military veteran team that's you know, they saw what we were doing, and it inspired them to get their own boat and form their own team. And that team's called Four From Home. You can look them up. They're on Amelia Island out in Florida. Great group of veterans, and we've been helping them prepare, supporting them in whatever way we can. And then, of course, you know, Fight or Die, it'll be our third race. I'll be skippering the boat this year, which is going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
And, really? Really, Brian, you are?
Again.
Yeah, I mean, Brian did, it was on the inaugural team, and talking to him after this, and then he's saying, well, I'm ready to hand the torch over, and others are going to do this because it's a grueling process. And then a year later, y'all, or 2 years later, y'all, that Brian says, okay, I'm going to do this again. Yeah, had you forgotten? Is it like a lady with childbirth, and she forgets what that was like, or?
No, I mean, yeah, it's really hard to explain. You know, you get out on it's because you're conducting an expedition. It is a race, and you're competing with other countries, other teams. But it's an expedition, and you know, I know that a lot of my fellow military veterans, they understand that. They understand that you have to make a long plan, and you prepare, and there's a lot of training involved to get ready for the mission, and we treat it just like that. The language is very much the same when we're talking about how we are going to plan and execute and prepare for an ocean rowing expedition. And we're in the process of doing that now with the new team. We've got a lot of, you know, a really strong team this year. You know, and I hope to be able to introduce to the show later once they are officially introduced.
Okay.
We're going through that process right now.
Yeah.
And our Instagram and Facebook pages.
Yeah. And I want to talk about how people can find you on social media before we wrap up. But to let folks know that, so the link here, why this national movement and with international competition, you've got obviously veterans, you got our warriors here, you got Bryant, you know, special forces, Army special forces, but your roots are right here in Mobile, even though this is something that is, I mean, your team, you're getting a team from all over the nation, but the reason y'all got the roots here is this is where you're from and y'all practiced here.
Yeah, this is, we like to say that you know, Mobile has been our training ground for the first couple of years. It's been really just the people, you know, I don't have to tell you, the people of Mobile are just really awesome, and they're super inviting with these teams that show up from all over the country. we give them a little bit of a taste of what the South is like, you know, and the hospitality and the generosity that goes along with that. Yeah, and, you know, of course, Mobile has always been my home. You know, I've lived all over the world. But, you know, when people ask you where are you from, I always just say, well, I'm a Mobile boy.
And you always will be. Let's talk about the other part. Other than just the challenge, obviously, of rowing across the Atlantic, what Team Fight or Die does, the mission statement of Team Fight or Die?
So, you know, Fight or Die is always going to be a vehicle to raise awareness to fight against veteran suicide and mental health issues that have been created through combat trauma. We support TBI-related treatments. So, you know, traumatic brain injury that you know, that it falls in line with post-traumatic stress. You know, we're a vehicle, we're a voice, and we're always going to champion that. And, you know, we recruit veterans that have had some experience with it, you know, but are also lead by example in the fact that, you know, they're willing to get into a boat with fellow veterans, train for a year, and row across an ocean in a race. And that says a lot, because we like to say, you know, everybody's got their own ocean to cross, and whatever that is, whatever challenges that you're going to face, you know, while you're making that crossing, whether it be you know, thoughts of suicide, whether it be, you know, the challenges of just life, it's a problem at work. I mean, these are everybody's going to go through that. And what we're saying is, you know, hey, life is tough. Yeah, we still got to keep living, and we still got to keep plowing through. We're going to cross our ocean. We're going to succeed to the finish line.
It's an important message. And when you and I first started, first met and started talking years ago, we talked about statistics for veteran suicides. Have we been able to curb that? Have we had any success in that to reduce those numbers?
Well, I mean, I would say that the new statistics out now with the pandemic, over the year, it's increased. We've seen a lot of the mental health facilities that Fight or Die works with, the Sturm Center of Military Psychology, the Graduate School of Professional Psychology out of the University of Denver, the Marcus Institute for Brain Health. Every one of these organizations that we, you know, have a strategic partnership with, they've seen an increase in suicide within our veteran community. And I don't know, you know, yes, the pandemic has been stressful for everybody. But like it's just able, we have been able to map it to where we're seeing a lot of higher numbers, unfortunately.
And all that, I mean, isolation, not being what these men and women need, these warriors need. They don't need to be isolated at home.
None of us need to be in isolation. Yeah. We're humans, aren't designed for this. We're, you know, we're all having to go through it, and hopefully we're coming out on the backside of it. But, you know, to me, it's not fast enough, because we've got our fellow military veterans that are taking their lives because they're isolated. Well, a lot of good things from the mental health side are happening. I mean, you're starting to see a lot more of the telehealth programs that are, that people that normally wouldn't have access to mental health, they're able to do this via you know, telecommunication, video communication. And it's been, you know, talking to some of the mental health workers, I mean, they've been extremely busy creating these programs. Because of the pandemic, some of the rules have between states. I'm not saying that that's 100% a fact, but it has, talking to some of these clinics, that they've been able to work out of state, which has been really good and helpful to people that really need it.
as we're wrapping up here, people listening to us want to get more information about what y'all do and your mission. How do they find you?
Hey, if you like Facebook, look up Fight or Die, and the or is O-A-R, so Fight or Die. Same as our Instagram page and our Twitter page. You can go to www.usbetrow.org. That's our website, and you can read all about us. We've got the new team that we'll be launching. We've just launched they went out and launched me yesterday as the skipper, and we'll have the rest of the crew slowly leaked out to the press over the next couple of days.
Okay. Me being part of the press, I'll be waiting for that one. So we'll be talking.
We do appreciate it.
All right. Great deal. Best of luck, and we will talk soon. Thank you, Bryant.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
But I'll say what I can and not get in trouble. And a number of friends that are vets, and like Bryant, I don't want to make a former Special Forces officer mad at me here, but there's new things coming out with Fight or Die in the next week or so. They're coming out, and people are also looking for the resource for their loved ones here dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Fight or Die is a great place to start. They can point you in the right direction. The links for all that, of course, will be on our Facebook page, and you can share the interview with Bryant. You can actually go back through our library all the times we've talked with Bryant and different team members from Fight or Die. They're doing great stuff. There are many, many organizations helping out our warriors, our veterans out there, but this one's very special to me because my friend, and they make it a real big impact out there, so check them out. Hey, let's keep that theme going. Friends of mine that are veterans, and y'all say hello to Robert Kennedy Jr., and lots to talk about. It's been 2 weeks, so we got to catch up. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, man. It's, although I just heard that there's still not enough vaccine for all the people in Alabama that want it. And then I talked to people who say, well, the vaccine manufacturers, they're making it, but we don't. Listen to this. Here's a reaction. You and I talk about supply chain stuff, but there's not, they don't have the vials or rubber stoppers they need in some cases to get it. Like, they've got the vaccine there. We need it here, but they don't have the infrastructure to put it in. That drives me
crazy.
Yeah,
it's interesting. In my last corporate job, I worked for a biotechnology company, and we manufactured, things just like the vaccine. And it was your plastics and your syringes and your delivery vehicles that you needed in order to make sure it actually got to somebody. So that's definitely going to be a challenge. But I think with everything else, we'll be able to work through it.
I just, when people are like, dang it, I'm mad that they're not getting the vaccine here for my family member or something. I just want to say that because people will picture, I just want to make sure there's truth out there that they are making the vaccine, but they're saying, we don't have enough stuff to put it in and send it. It crept up on me. It surprised me to hear that. So
it'll all catch up at the end of the day. But I think two positive things that happened here over the past few days. The first is that it looks like Johnson & Johnson is going to end up getting their emergency approval for the one-use version of the shot, which is really going to be good for the rural areas that don't necessarily have the infrastructure and the cold storage for the other ones. And then, if memory serves me correctly, on Mobile Mornings this morning, I think it was either Dalton or Dan had mentioned that maybe there was a CBS was starting to get them in the rural areas here in the state of Alabama. So that's definitely a good thing as well.
I will point out, this is not official news, y'all, but if they really want to get them distributed in rural Alabama and rural United States, distribute them from the Dollar General. Just leave it there.
It's true.
They get more locations than anybody. All right. I want to talk about this and your perspective on the story that's come out, and it's people are saying there's allegations, but part of this is John Kerry saying this is what he was doing. And special climate envoy John Kerry meeting with Iranians before he was officially, before President Biden had become President Biden, when he was president-elect. And the conflicts here, we can go on. Let's talk about what's fact. And they said that Kerry says they were having the meetings, with Iranian officials. Now, there's going to be argument of what was said and what deals were made. But yeah, you have this admission. Of course, people are saying you prosecute this under the Logan Act. You treat, you know, if you're going to treat Flynn one way, why would you treat Kerry differently? The Logan Act, y'all, bars private citizens from engaging with foreign nations in unauthorized talks that undermine U.S. foreign policy. I mean, Kerry's been open, you know, about the fact he met with Zarif at least twice during President Trump's administration.
Sure.
So this stinks. This stinks badly.
It's interesting. I haven't been following this story, you know, with a whole lot of as much precision, perhaps, as you and some of the other talk show hosts have. But, you know, at first glance, right, it kind of feels a little icky. But once you actually start looking at the original story that came out of the Washington Times, I think it was, and look at some of the diverse reporting, I guess, across the mm-hmm. spectrum, then it does seem like there are some distinct differences between what former Secretary Kerry was doing and what General Flynn was doing. And I think that the key difference is that in the case of General Flynn, that he lied to the folks about what he was doing when it first came to light. And whether or not you believe that FBI investigation was a perjury trap or not, it's clear that he lied to the vice president and the, you know, the former press secretary Spicy and stuff like that as well.
So. Right, but you would be if right, and you could talk about lying. But even if you said you did it, you could still you're in violation of the Logan Act. I mean, they said here, this is from a Fox News piece about the Washington Times piece, but it said Biden administration mm-hmm. officials, including John Kerry and Robert Malley, had meetings with Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif during the Trump administration that were orchestrated to undermine President Biden's predecessor, a recent report from the Washington Times claims. Zarif held meetings with Obama administration veterans who could return to power to, quote, now that's a quote here, to devise a political strategy to undermine the Trump administration, end quote, and usher in softer diplomacy between the U.S. and Iran, according to an unnamed former senior U.S. official cited by that Washington Times story.
Sure, but there's still a difference here as well. So first, with General Flynn, if you remember, he had been designated as a national security advisor, and that was during the transition. And at the time frame, the Obama administration had taken the sanctions action, and so the substance of that conversation became relevant given the timing and the proximity to the next administration coming in. My understanding, and again, it's not 100% complete, but my understanding of what was happening with Kerry, and I forget what the other guy's name was, who was a former official
Malley.
As well.
Malley.
But it sounded kind of back-channel-ish.
Yeah.
And more along the lines of lobbying and relationship building and stuff like that. So
but
what you
coming
have
in.
To do in order to start to equate those two is you would absolutely need to know the substance of what happened in there and whether or not Kerry, in his former role, had any power to execute that.
But do
because
we need,
without power, he can't actually undermine.
If we're talking about the trial of public opinion out there, do we need to actually know what they said? Because you think about all the assumptions that were made, you know, when former President Trump was coming in, it was like, oh, well, they were talking about this and that with the Russians and collusion with the Russians. And, you know, we know what these conversations, this is what Jeff Sessions was doing. When it turns out, it wasn't. I mean, so in this situation... I think it's bad.
Yeah,
I think it's bad either way. And you know, I'm kind of a stick in the mud here. I don't want people coming in and talk. Americans need to talk to Americans and not go back channel to an enemy, let alone a foreign country, in a non-official capacity.
Well, you use the comparison, so let's just make sure that we're talking about comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So in the former administration, there were two terms that were bandied about. One was contacts, and the other was collusion. And, you know, or under the umbrella of criminal conspiracy, right? And so I think what ended up happening was there was a lot of bluster about, no, we didn't talk to anybody under the umbrella of contacts. And in the case of the former administration, that simply was not true. And what was proven was that there was an enormous amount of contact between President Trump's transition and Russian officials, but what was not proven was that contact constituted collusion. So as you apply that here, mm-hmm. I think the first part of what you said is valid, right? So there's a very reasonable argument that says, hey, if you were a former official, that it's really kind of a bad look to continue any type of relationship building with a former adversary or an adversary. But absent knowing the substance of those conversations, and more importantly, having the power to actually execute on it, sure, you can sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody and say, you know what, I don't really like what the president's doing. But that doesn't mean you have the power to actually execute anything.
I
think ends up being the difference here.
But you do have the power in the fact that even if it's not named, I mean, you're a former secretary, and then you're going to come in as climate, I don't have the right term, it's whatever the new title is. It's a knowing thing that you're going to come in as this. You're going to come in as the climate envoy. And why the climate envoy?
That wasn't known at the genesis of these conversations, was my understanding.
I have a feeling that those deals have been made, but I can't prove that. But you could come in and say, hey, I'm not named yet, but I'm so-and-so. And, you know.
But in 2017 or 2018, there would have been no way to even do that, right?
No,
who's to say that Biden would have even been the nominee at that point?
No, but but I'm talking about in the intermediary, when you got closer here, you know, you got closer to time, those meetings were happening because they're like, okay, this is changing. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be part of this administration, and we're working. And, it looks from a distance to say, hey, I don't know what went on in the meetings, but could it be possible? The conversation is like, listen, we both have a common enemy, Donald J. Trump. So we'll work with you on that. That bothers, while you, some kids are in school, that bothers the hell out of me if that happens.
Well, it should, right? I mean, there's no...
Why would he be meeting with them instead?
The corollary to that argument is, though, when you talk about relationships, and relationships, good, bad, competitive, indifferent, those relationships usually transcend over time. And so there's no law that prevents a former elected official or a former appointed official from having a cup of coffee or tea or...
But you're not, Zarif is not, they're not hanging out with Zarif to talk about who was, you know, the winner on The Voice the other night. I mean, come on, we know that. I mean, even without not knowing specifically what they said, they're not in there making small talk.
Well, it's all to a political end, right? At the end of the day, it's still politics.
This is in Luxembourg,
that someone
it's
would
Iran.
Be talking and saying that they're supportive of an aspect of President Trump's policy when they were not. Is simply unrealistic either.
No, they shouldn't have been there.
Different than what we're doing here domestically.
Well, they shouldn't have been there doing it either way, because the policy, the same way the policy now I disagree with for President Biden, but it is not.
I'm shocked by that, by the way.
I know you're shocked. But it is not the job of somebody to undermine that policy with the Iranians. Now, I fight all day long here to change it in our side, but not to go around to the Iranians and try to use this to as subterfuge, you know, to hamstring Biden's suit. I'll do that here in the States.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The reason why I keep needling you on this point is at the beginning of these supposed conversations or meetings that happen, former Secretary Kerry had no power. So all he's offering is opinion, so there's no ability of him to substantively undermine. He's just stating opinion. And that's what I'm saying is very different than the case of General Flynn, who had been appointed, and it's now proximate, and the administration had just come out with something that he was actively undermining and then lied about it, right? And so that's what kind of makes the situation different in my mind.
Do you feel what Kerry did?
It's necessarily a good look to be doing this at all. I just don't think it's the same situation.
You think it's okay that Kerry was having those meetings and Malley was having those meetings. Is that okay?
I'm not saying that I personally think that it's okay. I think it's a bad look, but there's nothing about that in and of itself is illegal. In much the same way that you didn't put, former attorney general in jail because he had a contact with somebody who was in Russia, right? Because it would have had to raise to the level of criminal collusion, which, of course, we know it did not.
This is a bad look going forward for our country. And once again, I mean, it matters. Logan Act applies to Luxembourg, but it really has to be bold and italicized in a large font when we're talking about people that want us wiped off the map. We're talking about Iran.
Okay. So you think that Russia was our buddies too in the prior administration?
No, not at all.
You think North Korea was good?
The North Korea thing was interesting. The North Korea thing was interesting to me because I had the same reaction as a lot of people on the left did when President Trump started talking to the North Koreans and talking to Kim. But if, in a way, the hard-nosed policy of the past with him elicits nothing, maybe some silly, hey, he's a, look at this guy. I mean, play to his ego, whatever it is. If it gets them to,
right.
It gets them to, they're never going to be a great actor, but if they could not be as horrible of an actor as they've been in the past, maybe there was some improvement there because there's no deal made there. It's just, it's fluff, right? And
well, it's still different because it was the president in office, right? So the president in office can pretty much make the decision that he or hopefully in the future she has the opportunity to make. But what we're really talking about is this definition of contact. And does contact in and of itself mean that something has happened subsequent to contact that is improper? And in this situation, hey, is it worthy to investigate? I don't have any problems with that. But I don't think you can conclude that the action was improper, just given the fact that the former secretary didn't have any power.
Do you think the Democrat-controlled House and Senate will start an investigation of this?
No chance.
Okay, there we go. That's right. I love the candid nature. Robert, as always, appreciate our conversations. We'll do it again next week.
All right, you be good and take care now.
All right, you too. Robert Kennedy Jr. joining us, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you along. We'll say hello to my friend Larry Kirby at LCM, and he's teased me with the fact that we have an extraordinary vehicle to talk about. Hey, Larry.
You're not going to want this one, I don't think. But it's a big diesel boom truck.
I don't know.
Of course, you can hoist yourself up in the deer stand. You don't need a deer stand. You can just run out of the bucket.
You know, this is something that people will think about all the times you talk about trucks and SUVs and cars with us, but you get those specialty trucks, too. And I told you, I have seen specialty trucks around town with y'all's logo on them. You sell a lot of these.
Absolutely. We sell a lot of them. Matter of fact, we just got this one. It does have a big international diesel in it, so it is made to work.
Now, a boom, so... Can somebody, I'm going to ask a stupid question, but can you get financing on a boom truck like that?
Absolutely.
I like it. All right. So you've got the options for all the other vehicles and the specialty vehicles and the options for financing. Tell us how to find you.
We got all kind of finance. We got credit unions, you know, we got banks. We got every kind of financing you can imagine.
Okay. So we can come in, get the boom truck, find the right financing, point me in the right direction. How do I find you?
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook, or just call us at 375-0068.
A boom truck. I'm coming down.
All right, come get it.
All right, thanks, Larry. Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. If I'm given, like, I don't know, maybe I'd do carpool in it. Maybe I'd drop off and carpool with the boom truck. I would love to have a... There's probably somebody listening at home says, Sean, but it would. I could. There are a lot of projects we could do around the house with the boom truck. Check them out. They've got, like I said, the vehicles of all descriptions at LCM. Right, text messages here and emails. Do I even read this one? Maybe I will for music. What's your problem with Iran? Oh, my God. Where do we start? What's my problem with Iran? But here's the thing. That's the easy one for me to say my problem with Iran. I got a problem with Saudi Arabia, too. So there's the unpopular one. So a lot of people saying how Robert Kennedy Jr. can't have an honest discussion on this administration. That's why he can do his all the verbal gymnastics. The yeah, but was all you need to know is about his opinion. Some people say he's playing semantics. And somebody challenging me said the Logan Act applies to private citizens. So what power does a private citizen have? Right. But come on, Terry, yeah, I'm a private citizen today, but I was a cabinet appointed position a year and a half ago, and in another year I will be, I mean, come on, you know how they get. If you're just the private citizen that has no power, why does Zarif take your call? What? Once again, we need to think about it. I want to battle these things out like Tom and Jerry here inside the United States. But when and I would do the, I would say the same exact thing on the flip side. It is not okay while that administration's in there to go undermine them with a foreign power, let alone Luxembourg. This is Iran. Is it so important politically? And do this to your, do, if you're conservative, flip it around and ask yourself, would you stay true to this if it was flipped around? Is it more important to undermine the party that would be in power that you don't agree with during their term to deal with somebody that's a sworn enemy of every American? Now, not that the Persian people and all the Iranians are sworn, but their government surely is. They've lost our way. My gosh, have we lost our way? If that is good on either side. All right, 12:58, coming right back. News is next.